Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Psalms 2, verses 1 through 6. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them of his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
Jason, thanks for that reading. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone. I sat on this side this morning, Bible study. I'll tell you what, we got enough pillows in this place to have a good pillow fight. So everybody just, after that Bible study, any little disagreement, we just have a real good pillow fight. It happens. Continuing on with Brent's prayer, yesterday was a good day. I did not have a hand in it. And I can tell you there were several that did, that worked hard on yesterday. And as Brent prayed, the seed was planted. I tell you, I just sat back, heard six great lessons. Rick, Kyle, and hometown favorite Ryan delivered great lessons, and just had a great day. Enjoyed being with all those that were here. And that's the first youth rally that we've had since I've been here. And again, I didn't have a thing in it. It was well planned, and again, a lot of work went into it. We're thankful for those that did that. The number was good, but you know what? First time around, and it's going to get better next year, and maybe it's going to be an annual thing, and take a look at some things we could do different. But I don't know how much better we could get with what was presented, the lessons that were said, and well done. So it was a good day. As Jeannie mentioned in the card, as was read, all the cards that were sent, all the goofy addresses in Cleveland, I had the address wrong several times. It was interesting yesterday. Got a whole pack. But every card that everybody sent, Jenny, we got it from the Cleveland Hilton, and inside of it was a bill. It was amazing how they did that. Here's all your cards, and here's the Cleveland Hilton bill. So that worked out good. Appreciate the reading that Jason had. The reason for the lesson this morning is that somebody near and dear to me I baptized him, in fact. He made the announcement this week to me he's agnostic, and at best he's an agnostic. And he's teetering like this. In fact, he thinks he might just go all the way and be an atheist. And the passage that I thought of was the passage that Jason read. You know, sometimes those in authority and those that put themselves in high places and make decisions about weighty matters, and he that sits in the heavens will laugh at those decisions and those conclusions sometimes that we as men make. Oh, yes, we're in control. Oh, yes. Yes, this is what this means. This is what I'll do. And the one that is truly on the throne and has all authority sometimes laughs at us, at the things that we even think about, much less do. Open your Bibles this morning. Psalms chapter 14. I need you to open your Bibles there. We're going to start there, verse 1. Read Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. The fool has said, in his heart there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Now the text is telling me that there's always been atheists. There's always been atheists. But I want to say that perhaps there's never been a time that there's been atheists like there are atheists today. David made it clear that there were atheists then. But I remember growing up, I didn't know what atheists meant. That might some kind of foreign disease. If somebody told me when I was a kid, I'm an atheist, I wouldn't know what that was. But I remember as a kid growing up, I didn't know anybody that didn't believe in God. And again, I never heard the term atheist. I heard something every now and then about this lady named Madeline Murray, something doing this, something about that, of course. But really, she wasn't much of a player in my life, and really, I never thought much about her. She wasn't very important in my life. But as time grew, as time passed by, everybody I knew went to church. And if you didn't go to church, you were good. You know, and I always chided those guys. That, you know, my mom loved me and dad loved church, but they were still disposed and still had my best interest. That's just the kind of environment that I grew up. But as time went along, well, we recognized that atheists got what? They got prayer removed out of school. They got the Ten Commandments taken out of the courthouse. They got the manger scene taken off the courthouse lawn. And as we noticed those things, what else? Christmas, you don't have that on the school calendar anymore, do you? You got winter holiday. That's what's happening around December. We don't have Christmas anymore. So these changes have been taking place in our society. We begin to realize that these atheists now are making some inroads into how we live and how we think. But mostly, even then, they still seem to be kind of a lunatic friend. Still out there on the left, you know, that don't believe in God. That's kind of how they thought. He threw all these atheists anyway. Big deal. Big deal. Not anymore. Not anymore. Atheists have risen to an incredible prominence in our society. They really have. The new atheists on the scene, it's grown into something that yesteryear far took, we just didn't take it seriously until I believe now, I think it's a major force. And what they're trying to do now is really completely push Christianity out of the society and the culture that we live in. In fact, the media, they just can't seem to get enough of these guys. If you've noticed that, I'll name them. Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens. They're so-called the four horsemen of the new ages. And when these guys have something to say, they've got CNN on speed dial. They're right on TV. They're talking about it. They're amping up their new book. They're all kinds of launching all these attacks against Christianity. And the media just can't get enough of these guys. And they put them on every time. I want to tell you something. They're attacking. They are attacking. If you don't think they are, I want to tell you they are attacking. Long gone is the day of the atheist saying, you just believe in God, go ahead, and I'll not believe in God. That'll be all right. That'll just be fine. No, not now. Today we're told that religion is an evil today. It's an evil thing in society. We need to rid society of an evil. That's the new age. I'm making that plenty clear. Now, I want to listen. I want you to listen to some of these titles of these books these guys wrote. And they're pushing. I want you to think about the agenda that they're pushing when you hear this. This is from Hitchens' book. God is not great. God is not great. Okay. Here's the subtitle. How religion poisons everything. Sam Harris' book. The end of faith. Now, do you have any idea what the guy's pushing for there with a title like that? The end of faith. Here's Dawkins' book. We're more known of that. God delusion. The God delusion. We must put an end to all these deluded people that think religion has a part of their life. And I'm going to tell you something. These guys aren't playing nice. They're not playing nice. Dawkins just went on record and said this. I'm going to quote it. It is absolutely safe to say that if you meet somebody who claims not to believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane. How about that? How about that? That's a quote. Sam Harris says this. We will see the greatest problem concerning civilization is not merely religious extremism. I'll tell you what, everybody in here is a religious extremist nation. Rather, it is the largest set of cultural and intellectual accommodations we have made to faith itself. The problem isn't just the fanatic. The problem is faith. These guys want to get faith back. These guys want to stamp out religion. In fact, they're on record as saying that if you teach your children about God, if you teach your children about faith, you know what they're on record saying? The child abuse. Yes, sir. They're on the attack. Think about that. We don't want you to believe in God, and we don't want you to teach and preach to your children to believe in God. That's what these guys are on. All of them are on. And, you know, really, what's the message? Religion does harm. Faith does harm. And it's such a terrible problem for our society. We certainly live in an age of doubt, don't we? We sing that song. What is it? Lord, I believe. How do you know what you believe? How are you sure about what you believe? How do we know that we can believe? Particularly in a time of doubt in an age of doubt that we're living in, and we're being attacked on every side. You know, as I said, I grew up, I didn't know anybody didn't believe in God. I didn't. But I think it's time to update our thinking about that, because I'll tell you something. You're sending your children to a school whose parents are raising them to be atheists, who do not have God in their life, who do not give God credit for anything, and teachers that are they're not embarrassed at all, that are atheists, that are teaching your children, and they're unapologetic about that. That's the age that we're living in. That's the reality that we're living in, because atheism has moved from this fringe belief way out there on the left. It's moved from that to something that, hey, it's completely acceptable now to be an atheist. In fact, you're pretty cool if you're an atheist. It's on the cool side now. That's Gandhi and me. The word Christian. That I immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, you know what? It's just not our kids I think we need to worry about. I think we need to worry about ourselves. Because we hear these guys get on radio and on TV and just blast Christianity, blast folks that don't believe in evolution. If you don't believe in evolution, there's something wrong with you. And so we hear this stuff. And they come at us with these charges and full of vindictiveness and spit and poison. We're the bad guys. And we might just look, wow. You know what? You guys are fools if you believe or don't believe in evolution. And nobody wants to be a fool, do they? They feel that way. So maybe we need to resist the foundations of our faith. I want to talk about those things. I want to talk about what the skeptics are saying this morning. I want to continue a little bit this evening about the same line of reasoning that we're going on. But I want us to know about these attacks. I want us to know why we believe what we believe. I want us to know what we believe, and we need to know what the Bible says about these things. We need to have that. We need to look at the very foundations of our faith, simply because these guys are attacking. And we just, like everything else, we just kind of let it blow over. But these guys bluster, these guys blow, they intimidate, and they bully everybody. And when they do, it's like this never come up before. That these things that they're saying, that we're just totally unaware of what they're saying, just one of the angles that they go to. I'm going to tell you a few of the things this morning about how to answer those boring atheists that are out there. Ephesians 1. I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes 1. Find your Bible, Ecclesiastes 1. Solomon here is surveying life. What he says in verse 9, chapter 1. That which has been is what will be. And that which has been done is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So there's nothing new, he says, under the sun. How true that is. There's absolutely nothing true under the sun. Solomon's exactly right. Dawkins and Harris and Hitchens and all these atheists and the cynics, they're consistently writing articles and making things on the media, saying things. Like, they're the first one that have come up with this stuff. Like, they act like they discovered something brand new. And they want people, they want us to imagine that their rejection of Christianity, their rejection of Scripture, their rejection of religion, it's like some new discovery. And they discovered something brand new. They've got these brand new philosophical arguments that nobody's ever come up with. And they're just blindsiding us all. No one's ever challenged Christianity like these guys are challenged. All these guys are smart, they're top of the line, and they're coming up with these things, and we just never thought about it. That's how they're coming from. That's how they want us to think. And they've got all this new information that we need to know about. All this new stuff, sophisticated, revolutionary. Nobody's ever thought of it before. Brand new stuff. It's absolutely untrue. Fact is nothing but nonsense. All these guys are doing are regurgitating the same things over and over that's been vomited up over the years. The same stuff. We need to recognize that. One of the things these guys need to talk about is they love to talk about. They like to talk about the presence of evil in the world. You know what? If God loves us, and if God is so loving and kind and forgiving, can you tell me why there's evil in the world? Then, what about that? And they said that. They love to talk about that. Judges chapter 6. I want you to notice something. We're reading about Gideon. Gideon has an appearance of an angel here. An angel comes to him in Judges chapter 6. Look verse 13. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why? Why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his men? Which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. Well, look at that. Look at what it's talking about. The problem of evil in the world. And where's God now? Where's God? Where's God in this thing? If God loves us and all passes, why are all these terrible things happening to me and the Midianites are upon us? If God loves us, what's the problem here? And that's not a new question. Now, I think it's a fair question. I think it's a good question. And I look at that, but you know what? But atheists didn't come up with the question. They're not the ones, the new atheists are not the ones that came up with that question. In fact, I'd be willing to guess that there's a lot of people in this auditorium that have asked that very question. I'm trying to do good. I'm Christian. I'm doing the best I can. I wonder why God's doing this to me. If God loves me, why am I suffering so? Why are my loved ones suffering so? Why are all these things happening to me? Why are bad things occurring in my life? You ever say that? You didn't need to read Sam Harris's book to come up with that, did you? No. No, you didn't. Well, these guys are arrogant and act like they're the first ones under the sun to think of that. And they talk about that. In fact, they're not offering anything new. They're not coming up with anything original at all. Nothing. Several writers have noted much about what Dawkins has said and these guys have said, and they've refuted. They've written a bunch of stuff. They've written all kinds of stuff. And one of the things that they noticed about Dawkins, you look it up, a lot of the things that he's saying came from a guy named Bertrand Russell in a speech that he made in 1927. Dawkins is talking a lot of that stuff from him. And the thing was entitled, Why I'm Not a Christian. And you can look that up. But you know what? I looked at the argument that was placed in 1927. You know somebody come up with it before 1927? Acts chapter 17. Luke makes an observation about the people in Athens. Look what he says about the people. That should be made about the people today. Acts chapter 17, verse 21. Now all the Athenians and all the strangers visiting there used to do what? Spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. People love the new and novel, don't they? We love that. But the atheists, I'm telling you, are pulling the wool over your eyes if they're telling you that everything that they're saying, brand new, all new. In fact, what's distressing about that, turn to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Notice what the wise man says there, verse 5. Answer a fool as his folly deserves. Think about that. That he is not be wise in his own eyes. You know, there have been many people of faith who have written extensive articles time and time again and answered the questions of the atheists of the day down through the centuries. When this Russell guy in 1927 made his position why he wasn't a Christian, there were tons of articles written that refuted and answered his arguments. All a bunch of them. You can look them up. But, and you know what the atheists say about that? Nothing. They say absolutely nothing. They don't respond in any way. They just go on repeating the same old stuff as if nobody can answer them. That's what they do. As if nobody has answered them. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair, is it? It's not fair. You know, you take any other quest for truth. I just don't know how. That's not how the quest for truth works. I like history. I've said that. Civil War. You know, there's a lot of debate about what caused the Civil War. What's your first response? Slavery? No, I don't know if that's it. I've got a guy that I knew since I was 10 years old, dresses up like a Union soldier and shoots cannons about every Sunday afternoon. He does those play things. And we talked about that. We talked about the Civil War. We talked about what started the Civil War. And you know, how did it happen? What started that? Well, before you get involved in the Civil War debate, what do? Well, you get all the historians together that you can get your hands on. You read about what they have to say about it. You investigate. You hear both sides of that. Now, what happens after you do that? You form your own opinion. And then now when you have your opinion, what do? You get all the other historians with all the other evidence they have that oppose your opinion, that oppose your conclusion, and then you look at that, and then you weigh that, and then your search for the truth about what you're looking for, it's all concluded. You've got it there. Alright? Now, if I can't answer the guys on the other side, their arguments about whatever issue I want, well, what do? I've changed. If I can't answer the arguments that they present about whatever it is, about civil war, whatever I'm talking about, I change my position. I think different than I did before. And that's what we need to do. Now, that process works in everything. Think about that. It works in science. It works in history. It works in whatever field you want to work it in, except God. And except faith. And except religion. It doesn't work that way. We don't get all the evidence on one side, the evidence on the other side, and come to a conclusion and change our minds about it. No, it doesn't work that way in religion. And it obviously doesn't work that way with the atheists that we're talking about. Never note that the argument has been answered. Don't note that. Don't say, well, that's been answered, I can't deal with that. Never deal with the answer. They don't do that. I'll notice they don't do that. Never rebuttal what's been said. No, if it don't get your way, and if it don't make sense to you, shout louder.
That's what they do.
Say it loud. When you're in doubt, just scream it out. That makes sense. That's what they've done. And that's what they continue to do. What about this evil business? Atheists love to bring that up.
And as if we have nothing to say about that. We've got lots to say about that. About why there's evil in the world, and why there's evil. God's good, God's powerful, God's all loving. Why is there evil in the world? Well, you know what? Mr. Atheist, I think about that. How do you know what evil is? That's a good response, I think. Why is there so much evil, the atheist said? How do you know what evil is? Respond that one. How do you know what evil is? If there's no God, if there's no supreme being, who's making the rules? Who said what evil was? If there's no God. You know, you see a zebra going in the jungle, y'all might have seen, and here this zebra is just wandering innocently through the jungle. And there's a lion sees it, supper time, pulls him down the ground, and eats him. Nobody thinks that's wrong. Nobody thinks that's evil. That's what lions do. No, that's what they do. So, why is murder evil? Why is murder evil? Who said it was? Who came up with that? Who said Adolf Hitler was wrong? Who came up with that? Who can label Adolf Hitler as evil? Who got to decide that? Atheists ask a lot of questions about evil in this world, but the first thing I would say as a believer in God, you know, I had to deal with that question. Why? Why is there evil in the world? Well, next thing I'd say to the nation says, you know what, you better get rid of my vocabulary out of your mouth. That jargon. When you say, ask that question, why is evil? That's not in your vocabulary. That's in my vocabulary because I believe in God. And I know that evil's evil and good is good. How do I know that? Because I believe in God and He showed me what evil is and good. But you don't get it in that. You don't get called anything evil. You don't have that vocabulary. If there's no God, there's no evil, there's no good. How could you get called that? That wasn't very hard, was it? Yes, they bluster and they blow as if that's just the latest and greatest argument they ever come up with. Don't be intimidated. You turn on your TV, you turn on your radio, you listen to this junk, you better laugh out loud yourself. There's nothing new they come up with. It's been refuted time and time again. Well, give you a second thing I think that the skeptics don't want you to know about. And that's despite what they say, Christianity really has done a lot of good in the world. You know what atheists regularly argue? Just how evil and how bad Christianity is. And they always go, and I've noticed, they always go to the Crusades. They always go to the Inquisition. They always go to all those people that were killed and all those people that were tortured in the name of Christianity. How terrible that was. And you want to talk about Christianity? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the atheists say, let's look what Christianity did, all this violence, evil, and death. Christianity's terrible. Why would you want to be involved with something like that? Look at all the bad things that Christianity has done.
another day, it's again Daniel the next. He says this: you don't get to advertise all the good your religion has done until you consider the harm your religion has done, until you consider if we were without religion, we would be better off. You know what? The media loves that stuff. Why? Did you hear what I just read? Well, that's so profound. That's so marvelous. It's new. It's shiny. Look over there. Look what he just said. Isn't that something?
Wait a minute. First and foremost, I want to tell you, I'm not going to answer for the crusade. I'm not going to answer for the Inquisition.
And I look at that, and all those other nonsense, all that stuff done by, I'm going to tell you what they were, fake Christians. That's what all that was. Every bit of that was done by folks that were not Christians. Alright? And I'm not going to take the hit for that. All the activity that was done during those times, not on my shoulders. Matthew chapter 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I want you to notice the greatest sermon that ever was preached. Again, verse 12. In everything, Jesus says, therefore treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law of the prophets. What is that? Golden rule. Treat others the way you'd like to be treated. That's what the Lord's saying there. And when people take the name of Christ or Christianity and make it some political power play, when they do that and they hide behind the mask of Christianity, can I say that's not real Christianity? Somebody ought to say that. Every violation in the Crusades and in the Inquisition, all that, it's fake, made up. Those guys weren't Christians. They weren't following the golden rule, much less Christ. None of them were. I'm going to pretend I'm a doctor. I got the fake papers. I go down to St. Judas. It's already gone. Candy Park. Where's the best service, sis? I'm on Marietta Memorial. I'm in there. I look like a doctor. Trying to give this guy some medicine. I kill him. Here comes out the paper. The doctor's faking. It was a hoax. That's it. Is all the other doctors to blame? Are they included in that? What are they going to say about me? Well, he was a hoax. That guy wasn't a doctor at all. He was a fake. Can't we say that about those involved in the crusade? It's a hoax. What Christianity at all? The Inquisition wasn't Christianity at all. That's what we're saying. All of that's not Matthew 7:12. None of those folks followed the golden rule of Christianity. None of them. You know what else I want to say about that? Since we're breaking up Christianity, crusades, and Inquisition, all that stuff, can I bring up Joseph Stalin? Can I bring up the Soviet Union? How about the reign of Mao? Remember that guy in Red China? From 1949 to 1965, that guy killed 23.5 million people. In a little over 15 years in his own country, he killed over 23 million people in Red China. Wow. Historically, I've got to write down here. That, by the way, is in the Guinness Book of World Records. In a little over 15 years, this guy named Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he's a Nobel Prize winner. He estimates that during the reign of Lenin, Stalin, and Khrushchev in the Soviet Union, they killed 66 million people. Wow. So now let's just think about what happened in those other countries. That's 100 million people that are murdered. Yeah. You know what? You could take everybody killed in the Crusades and Inquisition, multiply by 50, you're not going to get 100 million people. All right. You know what? You can go there right now today, and I can go to Red China. I see a culture, a society that's still ruthless with religion, that burns churches, that shoots preachers, that are still in that mold. They run Christians out of the country. They're so bad for the country. What happened? 100 million people there. And the atheists are all big on how bad and how awful Christianity is for the world. You really count bodies? You really want to try that? You want to go there, Mr. Atheist? Because I'll go there with you. I challenge you on that. Finally, I'd say about that, you know, Christianity needs to get credit for the good stuff. You know what? We don't get credit for the good. We don't want to do that. The Lord taught us that. I'll get somebody in my coat. I'm not going to tell you about it. I want to get the credit on the judgment day. We know about that. Maybe that's why they don't hear so much about the good that Christians do. Jesus taught through James. Notice what he says in James 1:27. What it means to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, you know what it means? It means we care about each other. It means we care about others. That's what he says in verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit the orphan, take care of them, and the widow in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained, unspotted from the world. The good that has been done in the name of Christ by folks that believe in God far outweigh the bad that's been done by the hosts of Christians. Far outweigh it. It's time we recognize that. It's time we spoke up about that. Christianity's about doing good for others. The good, and I think about the good, what would that include? Benevolent work, which would include what? Orphanages, hospitals, those things that were started and built and ran by folks that believe in God and the principles that are in His Holy Word. Do you ever see outside one of those homes, the United Atheist Orphanage Home? You ever see? Have you ever seen that? You ever go by a hospital and say, United Atheist Hospital for the blind, whatever. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a building that is for the good that was started and built and ran by atheists? No, sir. There's not one out there. There's not one out there. Every time you see that, everything that's good in this world, I can promise you, was started by somebody that believed in God and wanted to do good in this world. It's amazing, yeah. Just think about some folks that believe in God. I can promise you that. That doesn't end. What about science? You know, y'all got this science thing, that versus faith. Best science. Who do you think the best science has ever been done? Who are the best scientists in this world? You know who they are? Folks that believe in God. Folks that know that God created the heavens and the earth, and folks that are scientists that work within the natural laws that God established. That's the best scientist that recognizes the laws that God put in place. They examine nature, they discover the law, they work within the law. In fact, this country, the wealthiest country of all time in the history of man. You know what? We had founders that took documents and wrote down what? That every single one of them are equal. And created equal in the sight of God. Let's stop this foolishness about Christianity being such a problem in the world. Let's turn off the cross. I'm tired of hearing it. There's no question about Christianity's main aim has not been, is not, to remodel the world. That's not why we're here. This world's going to burn up. No, the aim of Christianity is not to save the world, it's to save your soul. It's to change lives. It's to take people that are dead in sin and make them new, make them whole, make them Christ-like. We want to change people from the inside. That's what Christianity is about. But I tell you what, there's not any doubt that when Christians look at James 1, Galatians 6, do good unto all men, and pray for our leaders, 1 Timothy 2. When all that happens, when all that goes down, do you know that the entire world benefits from us being here, including atheists? Don't be intimidated by atheists and these false charges that we're ruining the world. Pardon. I hate to hear it. You know, I was thinking about this the other night. I'm walking to the car in Cleveland after the 2.5 week stay at the Hilton. And I'm walking to the car. Guess what I found? A pack of young men walking right at me, and it's dark. You know how much better I'd have felt if I'd known them guys just come from a Bible study? Huh? Don't tell me Christianity isn't good. Don't tell me what it means. You don't need to believe the lie that the atheist relentlessly put out there. I'm part of it. Since we're talking about belief, let's just say this. Skeptics never want anybody to acknowledge this, but the truth of the matter is, skeptics, those atheists, you know something? They rely on faith too. They rely on faith too. We're not the only one. That's the problem. Not knowing. He's created a couple of television shows. One of them's that trash show, Family Guy. He says this: atheism is like a civil rights movement. There has to be people who are vocal about the advancement of knowledge over faith. You get that? Knowledge over faith. In fact, this guy, Victor Stringer, he's another famous faith. He says,
Faith is foolish. It should not be treated with respect. Faith is foolish. It should not be treated with respect. You get that? Disrespect faith. What we want is thought. We want science. We want reason. That's what we want. We don't want to have any of this faith stuff. All these old bad Christians. We want something to make sense. Alright? Let's be honest here. I'm going to tell you what, that's just hogwash. But it's nonsense. Because atheists are people, and I'll tell you what, they are people that have to have a lot of faith. They have to be people of faith. Well, was you guys here at the beginning? Any of you? Very beginning. The origin of the universe. Were you here? I wasn't. I wasn't. And there's not an atheist alive that was here when all of it began. There's not an atheist around. Now, whether you believe that God spoke all of this into existence, or you believe that it just started with a great big bang, nobody was present. Nobody was taking a tweet that, hey, I'm at the origin. Nobody did that. There's no such proof of that, is there? All right? Let me think about that. And what that means is, you've got to believe something about the beginning. All of us do. All of us have to believe something about the origin. And what is that? If you've got to believe it, that's a faith question. That's a faith question. What about evolution? Has any of you ever witnessed that? I don't think we're going to get a chance to do it. Because it just takes hundreds of millions and millions of years to do that. So if you believe that, how do you believe that? You've got to believe the faith. You've got to have a lot of faith to believe that. Nobody's ever seen it. So it's something that people believe in. So it is true. That's just not a question for origin. Atheists believe that they don't believe that there's just one religion. There's just one faith. I think about that. Did they put that in a test too? They poke around on that, warm that up. How did they come to that conclusion? How did they say that? Well, that's a question of faith. I want to be clear. We're not talking here as Christians about blind faith. No. What have we done? Well, we've observed evidence. God himself says the physical evidence is enough. There's data. We're looking at, for example, the world. I'm pretty sure the world's here. I'm pretty sure I'm standing here on the world, in the world. I'm part of the physical world. And how did we get here? Well, the world shows evidence of design. It shows all the things about creation design. And what does that mean that it shows design? Well, some people say there has to be a designer. Some people say it blew up real good. Now, either way, guess what? You're going to have to take that on faith. Yes, you will. No matter what you believe, you're going to take that on faith. So I'm going to look at the evidence. I'm going to look at the data. I'm going to look at the evidence, the data, everything before me, and I'm going to weigh all of that. I'm going to believe that. Now, anytime you're not operating on 100% that I know, 100%, anytime that you didn't look at the evidence, guess what you do? You draw conclusions. And yeah, guess what? Faith is involved in that. Now, faith is no stranger to us, isn't it? Paul told the Corinthians, what, 6:5-7? How do we walk? By faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let me emphasize again, it's not blind faith. It's not blind faith. It's based on truth. It's based on data. It's based on evidence that we are seeing, and we make the best use of it. That's what we do. That's how we do it. You want to know what blind faith is? Believing something in spite of the evidence. That's blind faith. When the evidence says everything but what you're believing, but you still don't believe it, blind faith. What's called blind faith? We've already made up our mind. I don't care what kind of sermon I've had. I don't care what kind of fruit you've got. We can sit down and weigh everything all together. I've done made up my mind. I'm going to believe this way. That's blind faith. That's what that is. I'll give you an illustration of that. Here's this guy from blah, blah, blah university. Harvard. Richard Law. Famous atheist, by the way. Our willingness to accept scientific claims that are against common sense is the key to understanding the real struggle between science and the supernatural. We take the side of science because we have a prior commitment to materialism. That materialism is absolute. We cannot allow a divine foot in the door. We're going to believe what we believe no matter what. That's what he said.
That's blind faith. We've already made a commitment to materialism. We're not going to let this faith stuff, we're not letting this God stuff creep in the door, because we've already made up our mind, no matter what, we're going to not believe.
That's what he's saying.
What more? Thomas Nagel, another atheist. I want atheism to be true. I am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God, and naturally I hope that I am right in my belief. It is that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. Now you tell me who has blind faith. You got statements like that from men in the know, from atheists in the know. You tell me who looks at reason. You tell me who looks at evidence. If you've already made up your mind, you can't do anything about it. And we're intimidated by these guys. We feel like we're less educated than these guys. Really? We're all exercising some faith here. All of us do. The question is, what's the most reasonable explanation based on the evidence that we have? What's the most reasonable explanation of the origin of the universe? What is it? What's the most reasonable explanation that you can believe about the Bible? What's the most reasonable explanation that you can answer the question? Is there a God? Can you answer that? That's a faith issue. That's a faith issue. Folks, we're all operating on faith. What David said in Psalm 14:1, listen, I don't want to be a fool. I don't say something, serve the God. I believe we need service. We need to obey him. If it's all God, what a waste of time we got up. We had to listen to Dick for an hour. That's around. Hard up. What we need to do is investigate. We need to investigate the case, look carefully at the evidence, and folks, we need to decide what we believe. We need to come to those conclusions. And as we do that, it's important that we're not intimidated, we're not fooled by these guys, these skeptics, and all scouting from all kinds of different places, like they've got these new arguments, this new stuff, these new answers. They're not caught by it. As we do that, we need to remember that their charges about Christianity ruining this world, nothing could be farther from the truth. And their attempt to say science and reason, nothing could be farther than the truth. Really true. As we examine the case of Christianity, the case of the Bible, the case of God's Word, the case of God, we need to do it with clear eyes. We need to do it with clear thinking. And we need to know how to answer those skeptics out there. We need to know how to answer our children, our grandchildren, because they're coming. The first time I'm thinking about it, I never dreamed would stop being a Christian. I never dreamed, as grounded as he is and was, that he would make the statements that he made to me this week, this morning. And that's the passages I thought of. Here's some of the answers that I thought of. Tonight we want to continue with these thoughts. If you're here this morning not a Christian, we certainly encourage you to do that. The evidence is very clear that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh, and he came to this earth, and he shed his perfect blood. The only man that ever lived a perfect life is Jesus Christ. And only in that perfect sacrifice can we have perfect obedience. He plainly said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I'll tell you what, there's so much evidence that when folks have done that, the fruit of what that bears is so plain. We're going to know people by the fruit. We're going to know people by what they say. We're going to know people by how they act, how they live. If you're not a Christian, you're missing out on the greatest thing this life has to offer. What the Lord has to offer. Please come. Ask together we stand and sing.